Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Smart Faith Podcast, coming to you from the middle of nowhere in West Texas. My name is Joe Sisk, and you can email me at smartfaithpodcast@yahoo.com. Definitely check out revelationsradionetwork.com for all your podcasting needs. We have a bit of an answer on my health situation. I know I told y'all about me having some chronic fatigue and dealing with some issues before in some of the earlier podcasts here. Come to find out, I talked to a medical professional that happens to be a family member of mine the other day, and she's like, oh, what you have is easy. She has, you have heat exhaustion or heat fatigue. And when she said that and I looked at the symptoms of it, it's like, oh, well, duh, hello, exactly what's going on. I've had a couple cases of severe heat exhaustion this summer already, and what's happening is just that it's after I'm having these heat exhaustions, because of the fact that I, you know, live in the South and it's really, really hot. Well, I guess it's really, really hot everywhere right now. You know, from Death Valley to Augusta, Maine, it's like 104. So I guess just being in the United States in general is enough to sap it out of you right now, because it's just hot everywhere you look. But what's happening is I'm not recovering as quite as well from the heat exhaustion because of the fact that it's still so blamed hot around here. And I don't have the luxury of refrigerated heat and air in my house, in my home. We live a modest lifestyle around here, and we just deal with swamp coolers and rice in the salt shaker. You know, that's how things kind of go. So you know, maybe that's what is causing me to have this fatigue problem. And even though it isn't necessarily a solution, it is an answer. You know, at least I know now I can do things like better hydrate myself, watch out about the heat, try to get to cool places, like go visit my parents whenever the heat's, you know, really high, because they do happen to have a nice refrigerated air system in their house. You know, go sit over at mom's house and do some research or something, you know, because she got the cool air, you know, she does got a whole lot better air conditioning system than I have, so my brother does too, so maybe I should go see him as well. But, you know, I can do things like that to help take care of myself and hopefully get back on my feet a lot faster. So I do appreciate all the prayers that's been sent my way. I appreciate the love and support everybody's shown me and the kindness you guys have shown me. And if you have any prayers to give up, definitely continue sending them my way if you want. I could definitely use all the help I could get. And speaking of people who need prayers, I think we need to definitely say some prayers for these poor victims in Aurora, Colorado, from the shooting that happened a few days ago. From the time that this recording is being made, it's a senseless tragedy, and it's really one of those tragedies that's kind of upset me a little bit. It really just kind of has me on edge because of the fact that it could have so easily been me. I think if this situation plays out the way it looks to have played out, I say that because there are a lot of conspiracy theories already popping up that are saying that this could have been a satanic ritual sacrifice, or a psychological operation, a psyop, or a Monarch, or an MK Ultra style programmed, you know, mind control operation. That there could have been, you know, implications for shadow organizations being involved, or something like that. And I don't know what the truth of the whole matter is, but I do know that those people who are dead, that are shot dead by this gunman, or whoever did it, or whatever you want to say was behind it, are still dead, no matter what happened or what the you know, what the debate happens to decide on the whole situation. The people who are injured are going to remain injured. You know, those people, and the people who are, you know, trying to put their lives back together after this tragedy, are still going to have to go through the suffering that is you know, inherent to the situation. No matter what, if it was an MK Ultra shooting or a lone gunman or whatever it was, you know, and those people still need our love and support no matter what, you know. So I mean, I can't understand it, because if it is a situation where it was a lone gunman, which is what I tend to believe, I mean, I lean a lot on conspiracy theories and a lot of things. I mean, I know I may not talk about it much on this particular podcast, but I am a very conspiracy-minded person. That's one of the reasons why I was so attracted to a lot of the podcasts on the Revelations Radio Network, is because a lot of them have a very conspiratorial bent to them, and I really dig that. You know, I'm really into, you know, questioning things and, you know, not necessarily taking the mainline story to be the true story, and asking questions and investigating things. So I'm real conspiratorial minded, but in this particular situation, I tend to lean towards it was probably a single gunman or a gunman with maybe possibly a single accomplice. I don't think it was necessarily a satanic ritual abuse kind of situation, nor do I think it to be a monarch or MK Ultra shadow government, secret organization kind of thing like that. I think it was just a senseless tragedy. And that, to me, is even scarier than the idea of a conspiracy, because of the fact that if this person could pull this off there, somebody could pull it off here, or where you live, or anywhere else in the country, or possibly, you know, anywhere else in certain parts of the world, you know. And that, to me, is a very scary thought, because I've been to midnight showings of popular movies. I've sent my children to opening night on popular movies. You know, my kids go to the movies fairly often, not real often, but often enough to think, you know, how easy could it be for somebody to go have a shooting there and harm or kill my children, or harm and kill myself. You know, it's a really scary situation, and it makes me think about how precious and how fragile life is. You know, death stands beside us at all times, and we don't know when he's going to reach over and touch us. We're not promised tomorrow, folks. We're not even promised our next breath. And because of that, we need to look to our final disposition, to our souls at all times, because of the fact that we don't know when twilight is coming. You know, Jesus come to do his work on earth, and he had to work, like he said, I can't pull up the exact quote off top of my head, but he said that, you know, while it was daylight, he had to work because night is coming, and after night comes, there's, you know, no man can work. And of course, he knew when his night was coming. He knew when the end was coming for him. We don't have that luxury. We don't have that same ability as Christ. We don't know when twilight is going to fall and the work that we've done in our lives has to stop. You know, so we need to be prepared for that. We need to be as prepared as humanly possible at all times, because we don't know when the twilight of death is going to cloak us and end the work that we're doing. And, you know, this whole situation in Colorado is just reminding me that life is fragile, that life can end so easily from a senseless tragedy like a gunman shooting you up, or a micrometeorite falling from the sky and hitting you in the head, or a car accident, or, you know, so-called natural causes may come along and take you out. There's any number of things that can take us and remove us from this world, and because of that, we must always be sure that we are doing the will of God the Father. You know, Jesus said, "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that do the will of my Father alone." You know, so we need to be doing what God wants us to do in this world at all times, because we don't know how long we have in this world. And then even think about it, even if we do have decades and decades of life before us, you know, in a natural situation, the world itself is heading headlong towards the end times. We're seeing prophecies being fulfilled all the time. We're seeing things come to be that is said that were going to pass before the end times. So the world itself may not have that long before twilight falls, before the end game is played out. We may not have an entire lifetime left. We may be of the generation who will see Jesus come again. I really believe we will be. I really think that we will, that our generation will live to see the second coming of Christ. You know, and I think if that's the situation, the world itself doesn't have the time. You know, the twilight on the earth is falling for all the earth because of the end times and because of the events that are going to happen there. So we need to work not only because our own end is unknown, but because the end of the world itself is unknown and possibly close at hand as well. You know, we know by symbols and prophecy, and so, you know, as the Bible refers to it, birth pains, that the end is coming. It may not yet be here, but it is coming. You know, we might have a general prediction of the fact that, you know, yeah, it's getting closer. We might have the luxury of knowing that, but we don't have the luxury of knowing exactly when or how many years are left. And so because of that, you know, let us be diligent in pursuing our work for God. You know, you can't just sit there and go, I'm going to live for me from now, and when I get old, I'll live for God. You know, because that just, you know, for like I said, life is fragile and all that, but also because if you live a life of disobedience, when you get older, you're not going to be obedient. That's not how it works. You know, you're going to live and continue to live in your disobedience. What you learn to live is what you will continue to live. And if you don't live for God now, you're not going to live for God later. You know, you're going to procrastinate later on, just like you're procrastinating now. So it's one of those type of things. It takes a bit of discipline. It takes a bit of effort on our parts to make sure that we live for God and that we don't put it off, that we don't waver in our faith, that we're not drawn into this whole hedonistic, materialistic lifestyle that the world offers that tries to pull our eyes from God and turn them away unto things that matter not. You know, and the devil is roaming the earth like a roaring lion, looking to whom he can devour and looking to whom he can pull away from God, because he knows that twilight is coming too. And he knows that if he can stop the work, the more work he can stop, you know, the more damage he can inflict, the better. And he's looking to inflict as much damage as possible against us and against God. You know, he's angry. He is out to get us. He is not a friendly creature in this world. And we need to be prepared to counter him as well, because his traps and snares are set out there in the world to turn our eyes away from God, to keep us from doing that which is right. And, you know, we need to be aware of that, and we need to make sure that we avoid that fate as well. You know, I just like I said, this whole situation has just kind of really moved on me, and just made me think a lot about how fragile life really is. I know I keep repeating myself, and I don't mean to, folks, but I mean, it's just one of those type of things that just gets to you. And, you know, I don't know about this whole conspiracy theory thing. It does seem there are things about this situation that do make me question. You know, there's some things I would like some answers to, but I don't know if I necessarily believe the idea that this was some shadow government operation, or some you know, Operation Northwood style thing, or something like that. You know, I mean, I haven't heard a lot of the evidence on it necessarily. I read a little bit of the conspiracy theory stuff. There's a couple podcasts and things on the Revelations Radio Network I'd like to get a hold of that I've downloaded that I need to listen to before I really, I guess, really set my mind on this particular situation. But as I can see right now, it just seems to me like such a senseless tragedy. And it does make me, you know, think about gun control and how the topic is starting to come up now that we need gun control. Well, I'm going to tell you, I am from the South, so I guess my opinion will not necessarily be all that particularly surprising, but I believe that gun control is hitting what you aim at. That is gun control. You know, I believe that our founding fathers gave us the right to bear arms to protect and prepare ourselves to defend our country against tyranny. And, you know, one of the things about it is that, you know, tighter gun control laws don't seem to do anything but make the criminals better armed. You know, it's criminals don't care about laws. They don't care about gun control. And there are a lot of people in this country. I mean, I don't know people personally, but I know that there are people, because you hear about them, that, that just ignore gun laws. That, you know, registration, who needs that? Buy the gun under the table, off the internet, go on about your business, you know, kind of things. And they use it just for range shooting or whatever, or target practice or deer hunting or what have you. You know, you see people like that happen all the time. And then you have criminals that definitely aren't going to fill out the paperwork and do all that, you know, and it's like, oh, tighter gun control laws. Tell me again how criminals respect laws, you know. It's definitely one of those type of situations. Now, I know a lot of people disagree with me and say that we need gun control laws, that maybe Americans should disarm and all that. And, you know, everybody's entitled to their own opinion about the situation, I guess. But I just, to me, it just seems like if we had, you know, you think about it, if you had a theater down there and you had somebody with a concealed handgun permit that was carrying, you know, and what if they shot back? What if they killed him before he killed 12 people? What if they killed him before, you know, what if they saved one life? What if they saved 11 lives? What if they saved all 12 lives? You know, what if they saved these people from being injured? You know, there's a lot of what ifs you can ask. And yeah, I know it's a dark theater. I know you used a flashbang or smoke grenade or whatever it was. But, I mean, it's still one of those type of situations. If, you know, yeah, a gunfight isn't necessarily always the best situation. And yes, there's situations to where there could end up being more casualties by having someone else with a weapon in the area. But in a way, you just can't help but wonder, what if? You know, what if we could have stopped this? You know, I don't know if necessarily taking away things from us is going to help us whenever, like, in this situation, there wasn't anybody armed in the theater anyway that I am aware of. And if if they were armed, they apparently did not use their weapons, because I watched some of the news reports and I haven't heard anything about somebody shooting back. It's definitely a situation where gun control laws are basically already in effect in this situation, because no one was able to counter his weaponry. And because of the fact that no one was able to counter his weaponry, he was able to do what he did. And, if somebody else had something, had a weapon to fire back at him, there's a possibility that some of the tragedy could have been averted. There's a possibility it might not have been averted, or even made worse, I will openly admit. I don't know what the answer is in this situation, but I don't think that tightening gun laws is necessarily the case. Now, of course, I have to say, because of the fact that I have been diagnosed with a mental illness as a teenager, I cannot legally own firearms anyway. I don't have a gun. I honestly do not own a firearm. The closest thing I have is an airsoft gun, and it doesn't even shoot as hard as a BB gun. I mean, it's like I took it and accidentally shot my dog like 6 yards away. She just looked at me. She's like, "What'd you do that for?" I mean, you can take it and hold it against yourself, like a foot away from yourself at point blank range, and pull the trigger, and it won't even make a red mark. I don't know if it's broken or if it's just really low powered and supposed to be that low powered or what, but I mean, that's the only thing I got, and the only reason I got it is because my daughter accidentally left it behind when she came to visit it one time. Her and her boyfriend were into that, airsoft and paintballs and, all that kind of, run around laser tag kind of thing like we used to do in the 90s or whatever they call it now, and she accidentally left it behind when she went back home. And I'm kind of holding it for her until she comes and picks it up. But I mean, it's basically, you can throw a rock harder than this stupid little thing shoots. So I mean, I'm not saying this whole idea from the position of a gun owner. I'm somebody who is unarmed. I mean, unfortunately, that being the case, I can't legally own. So, that sucks for me kind of thing. But I still have this opinion that making the laws tighter isn't necessarily what's going to help us. I don't know what to do to help us, but I just know we can say, "Lord, come." Even so, "Lord, come quickly," because this whole world is getting to be in a very bad situation, a very bad place. So, I guess that's all I wanted to say about that. I'm gonna go ahead and wrap this episode up. It's only about 17 minutes in, but I just wanted to let you guys know that yes, I'm still alive, that I'm alive and kicking, that I have an answer on my thing, and hopefully that's going to help me get to where I can get myself back up into better health a whole lot quicker, because I know now what to do for myself to take care of myself a little better. I got to lay off the cokes and lay off the salt and all that, all the good stuff in life, right? Drink more water and Gatorade and all that business. So, but anyway, I just wanted to say I love you guys. I love all the support you give me. I still see great download numbers coming up. I still can't believe that you guys bother to listen to me so much, and it just blows my mind, and I just really love you guys. If there's anything you need that I can help you with, I can't do much, but I can definitely pray for you. Definitely send me let me know, drop me a line by the email, smartfaithpodcast@yahoo.com, and I will definitely do everything I can for you, because you guys have shown me all this love over the years. I definitely want to give back. So, until next time, my friends, God bless.